This program is sponsored by Katrina Christensen. Hello, hello, and welcome to Home and Away. If you are listening to this program, you are tuned into FM1. It's a sunny, cold, and snowy day here in Faroe Islands, but here in the studio, we are warm and in great spirits. I am Stella Zachariasen, and today I'm talking to the lovely couple Frui Bjork and Michael about their lives together here in Faroe Islands. They are here, and we are going to kickstart the show with a song of their choice by Ivar Uitokene. So don't go away, we'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. We are sitting here in the studio with Frui Bjork and Michael, and we've been just talking about archery, which Michael will mention it a bit later, just passing time with talking about it. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for agreeing to come here. And Michael, you have been here before, of course. Now you are back with your lovely wife.
Yeah.
So I think I will just start off by talking to her because we have heard a bit, from your side. So Frui Bjork, do you mind telling us a bit about yourself?
Yeah. I'm 51 and from the Faroe Islands. I'm a teacher and now I'm a vice principal in Kotlafjärskola. mother of three children. Mm-hmm.
And Michael's wife.
Yes.
Of course, Michael, do you want to refresh us by telling us a bit about yourself?
Yes, I'm turning 50 this year, and I've been living in the Faroes for 20 years this summer. I work at the university in Denmark at the moment, and I'm very keen in sports and do a lot of my spare time is on archery. I come from Denmark, from the southern part of Zealand, where I grew up. And Friberg and I met each other in the outskirts of Copenhagen while we both were studying there.
Yes. So yeah, of course, to those who are listening to this program, if you go to last year's programs of Home and Away, you can find Michael as guest and you can hear about his story and about the archery program that he's doing, Tambar Archery in Tórshavn. Hmm. But that, of course, they can go there and listen to. But today you are here because we want to talk about your relationship. Of course, Michael, we talked a little bit about you are coming, even though you are coming from Denmark, you were mentioning to me that you had to make different adjustments to Faroese way of living. But why don't we start the program off by asking Fruibjörg's version of how did you guys meet each other?
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, yeah, I can tell you. It started out me being a member of
The board of the dormitory.
Yeah,
so
okay.
The people living there, they have a board.
Yeah, organizing. And a friend of mine, we were trying to legalize our bar so that we needed someone to have the alcohol license. So we needed someone old that would be older than 25. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to find someone who lived there to be a part of this board. And we were looking out into the people that were attending this meeting, and we found this old guy. And this friend of mine and I, we were talking about him. He's at least 30. So we're going to go and ask him to be a member of the board. So we asked him before asking how old he was, probably lucky. and he said, yeah, sure, I'd like to be a part of this. So he got elected. And then we started this job about legalizing our bar. But he turned out to be younger than us.
Really?
That's true. So we had to do something else. I don't remember how it turned out, but we got the bar legalized. And
I think actually the chair of this board, he is
the same age as I am.
Yeah. So, and it was, I think they got some kind of dispense for this setting up. So I was working with him on the more bureaucratic stuff.
Yeah.
So, but I wasn't as old as expected. No.
No. But you, because they didn't ask you, you just didn't mention it.
Huh? No.
Well, he didn't know that was the reason that we pointed him out.
Okay.
Because we had just been talking among ourselves.
I was flattered. Yeah. Actually, I was in the process of moving from this dormitory. I had been living there for 3 years at that time, mm-hmm. and it was kind of my last meeting. I hadn't been part of this practical stuff at the place while I had been living there. So mm-hmm. I had another place closer to the university, and I was fed up with biking back and forth. It was a long distance. And
so you saw this opportunity. And
yeah, it was kind of a flag in the horizon waving, saying, well, this might be interesting. And it wasn't just because I was asked by Friberg and her friend. It was, okay, let's try this. Let's give it one more go.
Yeah.
And it took a while from this until we
That's what I was going to ask Friberg, like, from adding him to the board, what attracted you to him and what made you, you know, pursue this man?
Though he was so young.
Yeah.
Well, he was incredibly smart, clever. And he had this very beautiful smile.
Oh,
so yeah, that was
that's what caught your eye. And Michael, what attracted you to Fruebjerg?
I think it was she was very humorous and funny to be around, and very very direct. Mm-hmm. And I kind of liked the way that she would kind of capture the floor, capture the audience, being even though she's not the one stating herself, it kind of develops in a natural way.
Yeah.
And that's one of the great abilities for her too.
Yeah.
And to be being about her, yeah.
That's about her. And she has a lovely smile too.
Yeah.
So she has a glow to her. That's very nice and sweet to hear. So when you came together, did you, of course, you were staying in Denmark for a while.
Yeah.
So do you mind telling us a bit about that time together before you moved to Faroe Islands? And then we'll take a short break after that.
Yeah. Well, when we first sort of started dating and it tended to get serious, I told him that I was going to move back to the Faroes. So if he really meant it seriously, he would also have to give up Denmark and move to the Faroes with me.
Well, that's tough.
And well, I told him pretty early,
mm-hmm.
so that if he got scared by it, he was able to run away. And but I didn't want him to move right away. We stayed in Denmark, well, like 7 years, 8 years.
Yeah, it was quite a while actually. So it wasn't a here and now decision. Basically, because both of us were not finished with education at that point in time. But still, yeah, I believe it was a very nice thing to know of the future prospects or
yeah.
ideas that Fruebjerg had. And I believe it was very, very soon in our relationship.
Yeah, I think
very
it was
early
in,
on that, yeah, that I had this.
Like 14 days,
yeah, 14
3
days,
weeks
yeah.
or so,
yeah.
two or three weeks. Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
But the then Fruebjerg moved from the dormitory and she shared a flat with a friend. And that's kind of how it started. So for the first couple of years, well, she started living there, and then a year later, we moved into an apartment in
mm-hmm.
In Copenhagen.
Yep,
with a very lovely view over one of the cemetery parks in the northern northern part of the center.
Yeah,
and then we have been living in the outskirts for 4 or 5 years in an apartment in Rødovre, and then later on in Albertslund. Yeah.
Yeah. So, did you have your children in Denmark or
and
partly,
both.
Yeah.
Both. Yeah.
Yeah. The youngest one, he usually says that he's the most Faroese.
Okay.
Because he was born here.
Yeah.
The other two were born in Denmark.
Yes. And so, when you are communicating at home, do you speak both languages, or how do you communicate with the children?
I have been very stunned on the fact that I'm Danish, and I have experienced people from Denmark very early on speaking Faroese, and it tends to be hard to mix it. So it's either or. And for the sake of the kids and for my side of the family, who doesn't understand Faroese, then I've been very keen on speaking Danish at home and keeping Danish. Of course, that's also been a consequence that I'm not as good as speaking Faroese as I might have been. But I feel it has been beneficial for the kids.
Yes.
Especially with their relationship with the families in Denmark. So,
yeah, that's really good. And you talk, of course, in Faroese.
Well, I speak both Danish, of course.
Yeah,
being Faroese and
yeah, of course,
Faroese. Yeah. Today, I think I mostly speak Faroese,
mm-hmm.
but in the beginning, I spoke Danish, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he had to live with it.
Yeah.
When I spoke Faroese to the oldest kid. He was starting to learn Faroese at that time.
Yeah.
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 Today, I think if I get mad,
it's Faroese.
It's in Danish.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because then I'm 100% sure that he understands what I'm saying.
That's a good one.
I think so, yeah.
That's really good. But that's actually really funny, okay? But I wanted to say, you know, my husband and I, we met Michael in Suroy, and he was standing there with the archery. And when I went to talk to him, he was talking in Faroese. He was speaking in, I thought it was really good Faroese, and I didn't know that you were Danish at that time. So I just want to tell people who are complaining that the Danish people who don't speak Faroese, Michael speaks very good Faroese.
He just needs to show it all the time.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. It's exactly what Fribjörg tells me all the time. And of course, it helps me, and it also gives me courage to do it. And while I have the training sessions for the kids and parents on Saturdays in Tambar, a lot of the kids actually doesn't feel that comfortable with me talking in Danish. So they will look at me very strangely and go to their parents and say, "What did he tell me?"
Yeah.
So for that reason, I'm almost always trying to speak Faroese.
Yes.
And they don't complain that I'm not speaking the words correctly. And it helps. Of course, it helps me, but it also helps them to understand what I'm actually trying to tell them. So, in that setting,
works.
From now on, it might be developed into other parts of life as well.
Yeah, that's really good. And I wanted to ask you also, what made you take a decision to move to Faroe Islands? But we'll take a short break, and when we come back, we can talk about your life here in Faroe Islands. So we are going to listen to Morgon by Marsten Johansen.
Morgon om nyfattor gråter. Välkommen lukle, stod in. Ui hända heimen som gestor. Kanska tut vunder at bi. Om du vil kårene vita. Best at the sea so mist. Tau anchen weit just und lüb. Skapt til et no oljus. A bilden a tuino helum. Gava fra okon til tuin. Vira ui tunge la vera. Ber hana betur en vit. Heimuren fiden der åpen. Kannar til jötla og vel. Mestur er ringast og röntum. Ujur tær korsten i søs. Men tu øyur dægen og ljøsen. Tu øyur natten av vi. Tu øyur stjøtnur nær atlar. Tu øyur latten til fri. Viljen sterkast av svøren. Bøytur av herast av stan. Vånen fjertast i brandur. Lysur tær vind fram av mann. Avbyrden atuinom herom. Gava fra okon til tuin. Bira ui tungera bera. Ber hana betur en vit.
So welcome back, guys. Michael and Fruebjerg, can I ask you, you were living in Denmark and you had two of your kids there?
Yes.
Yeah. And then what made you change your mind and what made you take a decision to move back to Faroe Islands?
Yeah, actually, I don't know if you have an answer for that question.
Well, like we started out saying, I needed to go back home. I always did. I left the Faroes to get an education. I could have studied to become a teacher here in the Faroes, but I needed to see abroad and get some experience from somewhere else than the Faroes, our little pond here. So like I said, I told him in the beginning of our relationship that I needed to go back home and live. And so it was sort of just time that decided that now it's time. And we'd had two of our children. The youngest one, I'll tell you the middle one today, she was 6 months old. And it was like if I was, meaning us, going to go back home, it had to be there before the kids were too old. Because when the kids have started school and gotten their friends, it's harder to move. Mm-hmm. So the oldest one was 4 and a half at that time, and Salia, she was 6 months. So it was a good time to go back home. And we had been starting to look for jobs and somewhere to stay, and that was it.
That's it, yeah. I guess that's to be expected when you are from two different countries. Maybe it's difficult to say forever we are going to be in one country. Of course, for you, you want to.
when it became closer to reality, it was we set a time frame. We said, well, it has to be at least 1 year just to cover everything, every aspect of it. And based on that decision, we didn't start out with buying a piece of property or
We got this piece of land in Husvik.
We had a piece of land for building a house. We got that in a couple of years before we moved to the Faroes, just to be prepared. So we had something. One of the things that I thought were very exciting on the prospects of moving to the Faroes were the ability to design our own home and have something created from scratch. As it turned out, we got a prefabricated house, an older house in Tórshavn, but that's how life changes.
Yeah.
But at that time, it was one of the options of moving here. But we didn't settle for a place with a high rent. We lived at my mother-in-law's family home at Jekf. So we moved from being very close to everything in Albertslund, just a couple of kilometers from the station and the city center and shopping options and stuff, to a place at that time where you would have to go 12, 13 kilometers just to get a packet of milk if you hadn't bought it in Tórshavn. And it was, I mean, so far out.
Big change.
Very big change.
And especially during winter time, I can imagine.
I think it was really, really tough. I mean, the way you observe and live with distances is very different in the Faroes compared to countries which are bigger.
Yeah.
And infrastructure and stuff like that. So we, just for one thing, we needed two cars because I was I had a work in Tórshavn, so I had to go back and forth every day. I didn't have a driver's license before. Well, 3 days before we moved to the Faroes, or at least
before
I moved to the Faroes,
yeah.
I took my driver's license in Copenhagen.
Okay.
So I had been living quite nicely without having a car. Having a driver's license because we didn't, well, we got an older car at some point while we were living in Denmark, but Fruebjerg had the ability to drive it and it suited me quite well, actually.
Yeah, so she was driving around and you, until she said, now you better get a driver's license. So.
Well, Mikael, he did not want to live in Tórshavn. That was one thing when before we left. She said, he said, well, I need to live in a small village. And I was like, okay, just as long as we stay in the Faroes and it's possible for me to drive to Tórshavn, I'm fine. We could live anywhere. So that was one of the reasons that we had this plot of land in Husvík.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then life comes along.
Yeah.
And the oldest kid has probably the most political word will be learning disabilities. So he would need to go by bus to Tórshavn to go to school when he got to that age. And it turned out to be the easiest thing for the whole family to stay in Tórshavn.
Yeah.
And we never moved.
Yeah. Isn't it like this? Why is it like this that once you come to Tórshavn, you never move? Or you don't want to?
It's the best place in the world, right?
Are you from?
Yes, of course I am.
So you're from Tórshavn, that's true.
Well, she made a very big change because she grew up in the eastern part of town and now we are living in the western part. So it's like
4 kilometers from where I was.
But it was... I had this, because I grew up in the countryside, I had this premonition on living in a city just by the name. So I had this, I would rather live with the kids in a place where you would be free and have a lot of opportunities, maybe farming, having animals and stuff like that. And having to go back and forth, spending more than 1 hour each direction, going back and forth to work, I realized that couple of hours every day could be spent on a more beneficial way. So when Fridbjerg mentioned that for her sake and for her friends who was not inclined to go to Jake for knitting clubs, she would rather that we found a place in Tórshavn. But of course... the needs for our oldest at that time were also in consideration. And so we got this place and it was, I could look to my work at that time. So it was actually very nice that, and I got a lot of extra spare time that I could spend on other stuff.
Yeah.
And so it was a very great decision to make, even though it meant that we probably at that time decided that we would never get our own option of building our own house, and so
too much work.
Yeah, well, I have a lot.
Too
of work
much to the, argue about.
Yeah, and I have a lot of work on the property, as you do when you buy an older home. So,
well, as you said, life is like when we come together, we have plans, and then it doesn't always turn out to be the way we want to. But 20 years, is it 20 years you've been together?
We've been together far more than that. 27 or so.
27 years.
Yeah, okay. 27 years later, you are still together, very much, together. But in these times, even though Denmark and Faroe Islands is a lot alike in culture and there's a lot of similarities, surely you must have faced some challenges, because to me, Fribjerg, it's like Fribjerg is well integrated in Faroe Islands.
Of course.
In Tórshavn, and of course, Michael, you too. How can we talk a bit about the challenges that you might face when you're in a blended family, when you're in a mixed marriage?
I mean, one of the things that I felt that I had to leave behind was family and a lot of friendships. I moved the year that I turned 30, so it's kind of that point in time where you, all of your old friends have become established. You have a lot of friendships, and the relationship between my kids and my parents were very strong, because they were living in a farm in the on the countryside, so we used to frequent it and sent our oldest there, because he really were into helping them and as much as he could as at the year 4. So that's one of the things that really have identified the way that we live, because we don't have that double set of parents that can help.
Mm-hmm,
but then Fribjerg's parents is living in Tórshavn. close and close enough to be around and have been for the been there for the kids at
anytime
yeah exactly so and the rest of the family is quite big, so we have a lot of contact points, so I don't feel that I'm missing out because I don't have my own family around, so and it really helps.
That's wonderful to hear.
Sometimes it's these little things that you it's pretty hard to put words on the cultural differences, because the Danish culture and the Faroese culture is pretty much alike, being Christian cultures and having all the same holidays and all the same church holidays and stuff like that. So I think a lot of the differences probably are more from family to family and whatever you bring with you. But I know it is more than that, even though that I have a hard time putting words on it. Things that you expect the other ones to just understand and do, and they don't. It's sort of like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And it's hard to, it's really hard to put words on it.
True.
But it is different, just that the language is different. And sometimes, especially in the beginning, he understood Faroese, but he really didn't understand.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these unsaid things that we expect everybody else to understand just weren't there.
That's actually extremely good point you are making. Often I have thought about it. And also, you know, many guests, like I said in the program last time, many times when they come, they're a bit of when they come to the studio, they're a bit afraid to tell exactly that point, that when they come to Faroe Islands, no matter from wherever they are just expected to understand everything without explaining. So communication is so important.
And sometimes we really don't know that we are expecting these things until it's not being understood or misunderstood.
True.
I mean, I had prepared the years that we were living together in Denmark. I attended Faroese classes I was reading Faroese. So when I arrived in the Faroes and started at my job at that time, I kind of expected, I had very high regards on my own understanding of Faroese at least. So when I got in touch with new colleagues, some of them I didn't understand a word. I mean, it took me a while to get around the difference between day-to-day life with Friberg's family and the language you use in that setting, and then the more technical stuff that you have on a workplace. And that experience told me that I needed to get in touch with different elements or layers in the Faroese society in order to fully grasp what Faroese and Faroese culture and Faroese society actually was about. And that's one of the reasons why, I think it was in 2004, so it's not more than a year since after we moved to the Faroes, that I sent an application for attending a course in political science at the Faroese University, just to make sure that I would kind of get all around it.
Yeah.
And it also made it possible for me to get a new reference point, because then I had something that were beyond the family and work and it with the sports as well. It kind of not often, but from time to time you get across people who say, well, the Faroe Islands, it's a long way away and it's a small country and you are not able to do anything. Don't you miss going to the city and going to the opera, going to museums, doing cultural stuff from wherever you came? For me, it would be Copenhagen.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of, well, if it doesn't exist, well, if it's possible to create it or to establish it or to find out how to come about this need for getting more knowledge or establish something in culture or in sports or in education, then that's really an option. And that's one of the things that I think Friberg and I has have been able to establish between ourselves, because we have, from the years passing, we have interchanged in giving each other the room for cultivating education, knowledge, spending time on something that's specific, and then the other part is helping out. So it's not just for me, it's also Friedrich who has been able to take up further education and specialize in...
And spending time or working with stuff that is bigger than ourselves.
Yeah. So we're both active in community work, and so Friedrich is more into this group for people Jaune. With special needs.
Oh, Jaune, yeah.
Yeah. And I've been into sports on different arenas. Yeah. So
and school.
Yes, and you have a big responsibility as well, being a vice principal. That's one of the things that I also think a lot about, that when people say maybe there's not so much to do in Faroe Islands, but what you said, what you are doing is that you're getting yourself involved in different activities, you're throwing yourself out there, and there are a lot of things out there. So I think it's how much we want to put ourselves out there and maybe mingle with the people and mingle in the society, because that will take this boredom away, or this taboo of, oh, there is nothing to do.
Well, there's plenty to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The nature itself is there.
You don't need to be bored.
Definitely not. So we are going to take another break, but this song you have to help me with. Is it a French one?
No. Yeah, the artist, he is French.
Okay.
He's an electronic musician.
Okay.
And I picked him because this is something that he's an artist that I've followed all my life. We have been to concerts with him. And Friedrich actually suggested that we picked a song from one of the concerts that we attended, both of us.
That's just because I'm nice.
Yeah.
And also because this particular concert actually turned out to be rather catastrophic, because the concert were drenched in torrential rain, so everything was washed away, and we were stuck in the mud for
in a car for the whole night, and I was 6 months pregnant.
Yeah,
oh,
with
dear.
With our second. So yeah.
So you have a really good, I can't say good, but you have a emotional connection to this.
It's
a
it puts on memories.
Yes, yeah. Let's listen to it.
Je me souviens. luck. The snow. The fish.
Je me souviens.
Time is running fast. We still have a lot to talk about, and we talk during the break. But I would like to ask you if you have any personal values and traditions that you mix in your family. And we were talking about your first Christmas. Maybe we can start off with that.
Yeah. Mikael's family has a lot of traditions with the Christmas, and we didn't. We sort of just have Christmas and, yeah, with the food and gifts and hymns and stuff like that. At Michael's family, or Mika's family, they start Christmas on the first Sunday of Advent.
Yeah.
What's that in English? I don't remember the word.
I think it is Advent.
It is Advent, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they start singing hymns, teaching the kids, and baking cookies.
I grew up singing every Sunday in with my family.
Okay. And he was pretty frustrated when I was like, yeah. "No, well, that's not sort of like anything for me." Yeah. But the first Christmases that we had together was either at his family, and then we did whatever they did, or at my family, and then we did whatever my parents did, and then we had to have our own Christmas by ourselves because my parents went to Denmark to be with my brother. Yeah. And that was kind of different because we sort of had to figure out which way to go or not to go, right?
Yeah, I think we was a mutual agreement in a way that we shouldn't go either or. It should be a replica of one thing or the other. Yeah. Better to find out how can we come about this in our own pace and without the same level of stress or tradition, whatever you would like to call it. Mm-hmm. So we kind of made it free and made the tradition that we always have something that is new and different.
And you're open for
differences and new ways. Of course, I believe that our kids see the tradition as something that have these follow the regular paths and then have the twist, not in a way that we will kind of skip Christmas, and it's not the sense, but the different ways of having this fun, festive.
You take it as years go by.
Well, when our kids grow old, they will think when I was a kid, my dad used to make cookies. My dad, he used to make all the Christmas candies.
And he
was the one starting December in July with the Christmas channels and stuff like that.
True.
That's wonderful.
So he's the Christmas guy. Yeah. I'm just sort of...
You just go along.
Right.
But very quickly, guys, it's been so wonderful talking to you. Very, very quickly, what advice would you give to other couple who are recently married or have come together and starting a life or family here in a blended family, in a mixed family?
Learn Faroese, first of all. Learn Faroese and each other's languages.
Yeah.
not just English.
Yeah.
Faroese, first of all, yes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
To be able, that's also one of the things that I have hold on to, the ability to express myself. And of course, Fribjerg understanding Danish helps me in that sense. But the interest in the language and culture of the opposites when you are together, I think that's very important.
And one more thing.
Yeah.
Get some Faroese friends.
That is very important, actually.
Yes. And we tend to be pretty hard to get inside, but once you're there, you're there. Yeah. Right?
But that's being male. I come to the Faroe Islands without the tradition of the knitting clubs, that more a female tradition. So being open and interested in for instance, sporting activities would help getting into the Faroese society.
That's really great advice. It doesn't necessarily have to be even for guys, but it can be, you know, for both men and women who are coming in here. Thank you so much, guys, for opening up your hearts and sharing your story with us.
You're welcome.
I feel like we can go on talking, but time is running. But we don't want to let you go empty-handed because you have come here. So Katrina Christiansen has given you a gift card to go and try their Om Salam's Chut. Have you ever tried it?
No.
Okay.
That's very great.
There's your chance. This gift card is from them as a gift to you guys. So enjoy it.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Hope you enjoyed.
You're very welcome.
That's good. And to everyone who have been listening to this program, hope you enjoyed the show. This program will be replayed tomorrow at 9 a.m. and we'll post the link shortly afterwards. I'll be back next Monday with another couple. Till then, goodbye and take care.
Stand. each other.